listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by our U Bible Study Content Editor, Natasha Menifee. Hello, Natasha.
Hello, Mark. Today we're going to start the second study of the summer quarter, focusing on living a life set apart for God. This study asks us to consider our motivation for daily living, to examine our conversations, our thoughts, and our conduct, and our challenge to let our light shine in a dark world. Our first session focuses on the holiness of God. And so it's important because a right understanding of God must begin with recognizing that He is holy. And because He is holy, He is set apart from us and everything else in creation.
All right. So our point for today is God is holy and set apart from everything else in creation. What question are we trying to answer today? How does God's holiness set Him apart? And so our first point today is God is set apart in His greatness. And so let's look at Psalm 99. I'm going to start at verse number 1. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He is enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awe-inspiring name. He is holy. He is holy. So what a great and powerful vision this particular psalm conjures up as it talks about God on His throne. How awesome He is. The people tremble. The earth shakes. He is standing between the cherubim. And so what a great picture it talks about. And I think that probably this is just a good time to really just mention something about the word holiness. Why is all of this description here like it is? Because God is holy. And let me just say the root meaning of the word holy is that He is different, that He is different. There's nobody like Him. He is different. And that's what I see as we begin this passage and this great description of Him, how awesome He is, how great He is, and nobody else fits in this passage but God Himself. So what are you thinking, Natasha?
Yeah, what stands out for me is the imagery and the language used to describe God's greatness in this section. The psalmist talks about He reigns, He's enthroned. So, you know, we get the idea and the imagery of a king and a ruler, because that's the kind of language that's being described. He's exalted above all people, tells me there's, as you said, there's no one greater than God. He's different. He is set apart, and He alone is holy. And that, you know, we have the language of the earth quaking and praising His awe-inspiring name, everything speaking to how great He is with no comparison. So there's no one in heaven or on earth that can compare to our great God.
Right. So they are, even the heavenly creatures see Him as great. We see Him as great. The creation sees Him as great. And so absolutely, He is set apart in His greatness. There's nobody like Him. But He is also set apart in His justice. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. The mighty King loves justice. You have established fairness. You have administered justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow in worship at His footstool. He is holy. And so I love this fact that the text brings out the idea of the justice of God. And that's something I think we, particularly as African Americans, think about a lot, the justice of God, that God rights all wrongs, that he brings down the wicked, that he provides, establishes fairness in our systems. And so this is not just an idea for what will happen in heaven. We get excited because God is works out justice in the earth. And the psalmist is praising him for this. You have established fairness. You have administered, that means you brought it to us, justice. And so he is, we certainly give him praise because he is set apart in his justice in a country and a time where we see many things that are so unfair and so unjust. It is encouraging for us to know that God loves and brings justice.
Absolutely, Mark. That's the one thing I wrote down as well that pointed out that God's justice and him being just is not like man's justice that we see today. It's not situational. It's not self-serving. God is described as being fair and righteous. So we can trust that when he comes with justice, that it's going to be what's right and it's going to be to the benefit of the people. It's anything else is contrary to his character. And for this reason, it says that we are to bow and worship him. He's worthy of our worship. His character, his righteousness, and his justice is completely opposite of what we see in our world today, the opposite of man's character, but it also serves as a model for us as believers that we are to be just as he is just and fair and righteous because he is holy and because we are his children, we are to emulate that. And then I also see the second repetition of the line, he is holy, which just reinforces and reiterates to us that God is holy and he alone holds these characteristics in all the earth.
So it's interesting that, there are some Christians who don't believe we ought to be concerned about justice issues. Well, this text reminds us that we can't be like God if we are unconcerned about justice issues. The holiness of God includes the fact that he is great, but it also includes the fact that he administers justice. And so we are really excited about that. But here's the third thing. God is set apart in his actions. Let's look at verse 6 and following. Moses and Aaron were among the priests. Samuel also was among those calling on his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in a pillar of cloud. They kept his decrees and the statutes he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You are a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their sinful actions. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow in worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. All right, so this is great. He is set apart in his actions toward the people. And so we get to see this beautiful picture of the people calling on God and how God visited and spoke to them. It reminds us that God is forgiving, but it also says that God is the avenger of sinful actions. And so sometimes we would like to just kind of paint God and say, oh, God, he just forgives. Yes, he does. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't hold us accountable, that he doesn't hold people sometimes accountable for their sinful actions. I can be forgiven of my sin. If I murder somebody, I can be forgiven of the murder, but I still might end up in jail. Come on. Right. His justice will demand this idea that he avenges the sinful actions as well. But we are grateful. He is worthy, still worthy to be praised not only in the holy mountain, but in all the earth. What do you see in here, Natasha?
Yeah, I highlighted that as well. This section showed me the duality of his holiness. He is the avenger of sin and the forgiver at the same time. And both reflect his character as being holy. Because he's holy, he won't tolerate sin. But because he's loving, he gives us a way of escape and forgiveness from that sin. And like I said before, it's a model for us. Or a model for us as his children. We don't tolerate or compromise when it comes to sin, but we also should be loving and forgiving to others the same way we've received forgiveness for our sins. So we don't compromise, but we are forgiving at the same time. We receive forgiveness, and we should also extend that as well. So it's just another way to highlight and emphasize the characteristics of God, who he is. And of course, it ends very similar to the other two sections. The Lord our God is holy, and only a holy God is able to manage being both an avenger of sin and a forgiver all at the same time.
All right, this is great. So don't forget, there's some important key words in this particular passage that you might want to review with your classes as well. So if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment, because Natasha is going to give us a powerful 1-minute teaching tip. But I want to remind everybody that you need to get your own copy of the You Bible Study Personal Study Guide so that you can have it in your hand, read it for yourself, and allow it to bless your life. You can find it at you.lifeway.com. That's Y-O-U. .lifeway.com. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats, great for this season that we're in right now. There's a teacher guide in the back of the book, and there are daily devotional pages to keep you engaged with the Bible every day. There's a leader pack to make the lessons even more exciting. And it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. So we're real excited about that. Make sure you get your copy. All right, Natasha, give us our teaching tip for today.
All right, Mark. So before you begin to teach this study on living life set apart for God, it's important that as teachers, we examine our own hearts. So going into this study, ask God to reveal any actions or attitude that might hinder your relationship with him first, and then your service in teaching. Take some time to confess those sins as God reveals them, and pray for the Lord to give you a clean heart and a renewed right spirit so that nothing hinders the work that he will do through you as we go into teaching.
All right. What a great study this is going to be. And this first lesson really kicks it off really nicely, the holiness of God. Well, join us again, my friend, for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.